If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 5 of If Lands Could Kill.
Woo!
We are broadcasting from the dank, dark depths.
It is awfully musty in here.
Of the Knife City Cave. I'm the Cave Master, Knife City.
With? I'm a Quickness. Hot Sauce.
And the one, the only, Reich.
So welcome. So what shall we talk about? What's been going on? What's new with your lives?
Tell me about your life. Oh man, I've been doing good. Life's been good. Been working hard, hardly working, you know?
Wow, good jokes.
I know, right? Oh man, this is a good podcast already, I can feel it. But yeah, fucking Vince.
Listeners were like, oh, snooze.
Well, let's go ahead and skip this.
Fast forward for 15 minutes.
Where's heavy meta?
dick joke. Fuck
but yeah, joke. Fucking yeah. Working. Life's been good. Wife's been good. You know, everything's been happy. We just went out for my wife's birthday, which was a Thursday. And I took her out downtown San Diego, took her to a nice little, Brazilian steakhouse where it's like they fucking come out with
all you can eat.
Yeah, it's all you can eat and they bring out all the meats on these skewers and stuff. Yes. And you're just like, yeah, I want that. He's pointing like,
I was thinking like you get a Brazilian wax while you eat.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, we got Brazilian waxes too.
Just like, everything.
His and hers Brazilian wax. It's
pretty nice. Blood implants.
So you ate their meat while they prepared your meat?
Exactly.
Oh,
that's next level. But, yeah, it's been pretty good. I've been playing some games and I've been playing a little bit of Magic. I haven't been playing a ton of Magic this past couple weeks, but, I definitely have one new deck that I want to share a little later on, but that's pretty much for me.
Nice. Not much going on over here. I've been playing, Bioshock Infinite, the, downloadable content for that. They had, Burial at Sea, I believe, parts 1 and 2. Buried at Sea or Burial at Sea, I might forget. So the first part's been out since like November, I think, but I decided to wait till the second part came out so I can just play it all at once, and it's fucking awesome. I mean, it's great. If anyone's played Bioshock Infinite, it's like a perfect little ending for the story, and that's pretty much it. The studio is closed down, so this is it, you know?
Yeah, which is the final
pretty
one.
Cool. Pretty significant since Bioshock was like 2007, I think, so we got 7 years and it's all coming to a close. It's like Star Wars ending or something, I don't know. So that, and then I beat South Park Stick of Truth.
Oh, is that any good?
That is fucking ridiculous. If you guys watch South Park, you know that they like push the limits of like what's relevant today. You know, they get like whatever is in the news from the past like month or two and they like blow that shit up. Imagine that with like no ratings, you know, like they do whatever they want. They push the fucking limits, man. It is disgusting. Every time my girlfriend walked by, she's like, what the fuck are you, what are you playing? And I had to like explain it to her and it just comes out so wrong and so awkward. Every time she's just like, why does it have to be his balls hitting you in the face? Why does it have to be that? Why does it got to be your dad's balls?
Anyways. Oh, that's South Park, all
right. Yeah, right. Quick, what do you got?
Nice. Not much. Just been getting ready for Journey in the Nick spoilers coming out.
I know. I have like a ritual. I'm just like fucking I'm getting like lighting some candles, you know, saying some chants, hoping for the gruel gods to bestow upon me some amazing cards.
But not this time around. Not this time. I've just been going like what I normally do is when I'm looking, to find cards that are powerful that aren't really played or positioned well in the meta or if I want to brew decks. I was going on, Cockatrice. Because I have the full standard database right in front of me. I can look at the cards, I can put them together, and kind of like get numbers corrected in a deck to see how well it does. And I'm just trying to go through and find some good cards that might be relevant coming up.
Are you doing this for MTGO or for paper?
Either.
Just in general? Okay.
Just, you know, whatever I want to play. I like kind of having different decks on both. You know, I have my control deck and so the mono blue and paper, then I have like mono black and moto. so I can kind of play like a variety of decks and kind of see how they work. So like when I have like my main deck, which I play as the control deck, and I play, you know, against the mono black, I know kind of their strategy and kind of lines of play and vice versa. So if I'm playing mono black and I always play fucking control on Moto every single game, every daily event, always control. I hate it because I always lose to it and it's fucking detention sphere. My freaking Underworld Connection.
Taste your own medicine!
I know, right? I'm so angry. Is this what I do to people? It's like, this is what it feels like when I'm stabbing other people?
Yeah, I am a monster. I deserve to be here.
Yeah, just been that and been, you know, working on...
That's a great one.
Working on different various things for, you know, the podcast, doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there, when the time permits. Other than that, just playing my normal games, playing League, you know, playing Diablo 3, trying to get back into that, want to get the expansion soon when I can. And trying to build up my my card collection on Soulforge and Hearthstone. So trying to keep up with the other card games that are out there that are positioned to be alongside Magic. I don't think they'll ever take over Magic, but, you know, a lot of people will probably start in these card games and then, you know, they might switch over. So I think it's good to know all the different card games. So, you know, since we're doing the podcast, you know, for novices, things like that, when they make the switch, you know, can tell them, hey, you know, this is how it works. It's not like this, or this mechanic's kind of like this in Hearthstone or Soulforge and things like that. So, just trying to be prepared in all fronts.
I've actually been playing a lot of Hearthstone. At work, like I said last week, I can just dick around the computer while I work. And so, Duels of the Planeswalker, kind of, you know, I have like two decks that I play on there, and I play them really well, but it just gets boring. And so, I was playing Hearthstone, and I just got on this tangent where I was actually like playing it like when I got home from work. And
like all day, man.
I got burnt out pretty quick. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of that, and me, Quick, and our other buddy have been trying to get back into Diablo. Do like a group thing. You need to get on it too.
Yeah, I reinstalled it on my computer, but I haven't started it back up.
You bastard.
I know. We have different times, man. I know. It in the day. Wait, do you have it at work?
No,
it's only at home. Okay.
And then I've been also playing, Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh god, don't even get me started on that.
Is a, Star Wars MMORPG.
It's crap right now.
And, I think it's pretty good.
No.
I played it like, I don't even know, like a year and a half ago or something. And, probably more than that. And it was okay back then, and I didn't have a lot of time to dedicate to games at that point in my life.
Too much fucking dick.
Yeah, but I... Dude, do you know how long it takes? Never mind.
Yeah, you stop that side money.
But I've been playing a lot of that. You know, I love anything Star Wars, and I'm a sucker for MMORPGs. I know there's a debate just brewing underneath, Quickness's, skin right now about World of Warcraft and blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, it's just, well, I'll just touch on it briefly. My main thing is that I played when it was a, subscription-based game. And it was great then because, you know, access to everything. Now it's a free-to-play game, and I went to go turn in a quest, and it gave me options to select for my item reward that I wanted. And I was like, oh, this one's really good. Select, accept. And it's like, you must be like a premium member to get this item.
Yeah, you gotta pay,
son. What, I have to pay? Like,
so you didn't have the $15 a month subscription?
Well, no, I canceled my subscription and then I stopped playing for like a year and then, you know, I picked it up again because I was like, oh, it's free to play now. You know, I might as well do it. It's an extra game I can play whenever I get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going over the scenario I was just talking about, like...
Yeah, where you don't get like, the items?
Yeah, it's a quest item. Like, don't...
You already did the work for it. Yeah. Why would you not get the item?
Don't put the option there and restrict it and then be like, oh, sorry, you gotta pay us anyways. Like, I understand microtransactions and they gotta make money somewhere, But like this
is a lot of money somewhere.
This is like something that just like irks me to no end. Like I refuse to play the game just for that reason. Even though I do like Star Wars and I like MMORPGs, like I will not accept that.
It's not a microtransaction if you just subscribe. So basically you get a game for free that sure you don't get some premium drops or whatever, but so you're getting fun. The whole point of free to play is to hook you into the subscription. So it's like wow to Oh, here, check it out, and then you subscribe, and then you get the full benefits of the game.
So subscription is like basically, subscription, it's almost mandatory, like if you really want to get into it, you need to pay the $15.
Yeah, it's just like anything else, like, oh, here's a free, like, 5-minute demo of the game, except this is giving you so much more than a 5-minute demo, so, I mean, that's what I've heard a lot of players, like, complain about it, and it's like, why are you complaining about something that you're getting for free? Then if you don't want that to happen, just subscribe like every other good MMORPG.
Yeah, they're all $15.
Well, yeah, why don't you just keep it a subscription-based thing then?
Because I would have never tried it if it wasn't free to play. That's the whole reason I started playing it, is because it's free to play, and now I enjoy it so much that I want to subscribe.
Why can't it be like other free to play games with microtransactions that don't affect power? Because this is effectively, you're buying power, and that's the whole thing against.
That's like what, this. That's a lot of games now though. Even like World of Warcraft, you can like buy yourself like level 90 characters and shit like that.
You can
like,
buy it.
Well, that's like a secondary right market.
But still, you can just like go, no, that's like, you can buy it like first party now or whatever. You can just like go
yeah,
and buy.
Yeah, through Blizzard, you can,
really?
You yeah, you can through Blizzard, you can just like 90. Buy whatever you want. Yeah, now,
that makes sense though because yeah, they don't want new players to have to buy.
$60 too.
They don't want new players to have to buy 6 expansions. Plus spend the month or two to level the 90 just to play the new
Wouldn't
game.
Wouldn't that frustrate old players?
It's the last expansion.
That's why I stopped playing.
Wouldn't that frustrate old players though? To be like, yeah. I worked this hard.
Back in my day, it like, took me 3 years to level
the 60. I'm gonna be better regardless. Like, I'm gonna be better, I'm gonna
you're
be
more,
able to...
More talent, more experience,
yes,
and you have probably
exactly.
better drops
if,
and
if
stuff,
they want,
but still.
If they want to start at 90 and go from there and not know what to do, by all means, but like,
right.
With a lot of microtransaction games that are free to play, you buy like, you know, a mount, or my armor can look different, or it's not like, oh, I'm buying a superior item because I'm subscribed, even though it's a free to play game, you know.
Right.
It just, that's where I draw the line.
That makes sense though.
So.
Star Wars still. I'm not gonna play it, but I mean, I think it's like, sounds fun.
It's fun. Just playing the
characters. All those things sound fun.
And plus, it's not better than Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast.
I don't think anything could be better.
I'm gonna play a Star Trek game.
No, that fucking that's free to play too.
Lord of the Rings. So there is.
There's a joke. Free to play Star Trek MMO.
We'll play Lord of the Rings online.
Oh Lord.
Well,
but anyways,
I'm gonna quit Magic, guys.
Yeah, there's too many.
I got better things to do.
They need an MMORPG for Magic. That's what. They
oh my god!
Like all the lore and everything.
Yes, you are all these planeswalkers.
All these Jace Bellerins just running around everywhere.
Oh god!
Oh Jesus!
Well, they're all first-person shooters.
All these guys named like XX Jace XX Bellerin XZ
89 Yolo Swag Mind Sculptor XXX.
Yeah.
All right, but I think that should lead us into our next section. I think we're talking about some standard meta that's out right now.
Yes, the standard has been slightly not shaken up, but there's
been evolving.
There's definitely been evolving. You know, I haven't been paying too much attention, but I have been hearing about these. You know, like tier 1.5 decks that have been getting a little bit better here and there. Like I recently just played against a mono black aggro deck, which had Painseer in it. So it was kind of cool to see Painseer in action. Fortunately, it never did its job. It was just a 2/2 body and
it never got to attack.
It attacked, but it never got to untap. That's pretty much what I expect out of that card. It's a 2/2 for 2, and then sometimes you get benefit from it.
You know, it does scare your opponent, though. Like, I see when I watch people play the game, people use a removal on that card. Like, they do not want to see that thing untapped. So they're like, once it goes on the board, it's kind of a nice trade to play 2 mana and freak them out enough to waste their shit.
Yeah, it eats up a removal.
It's not really a waste, but they're like, oh, I don't want them to draw fucking cards, you know?
Yeah. But, that's the deck that I actually played against and saw, you know, a lot of the cards and interacted with them.
Yeah, I like the concept of mono black aggro now. Like, there, what's that card that's, it's like, I don't know if it's a one black or two black, but it's like a 1/1, it's a bestow creature, but every time you attack,
Spiteful lose two life. Or,
Spiteful Returned, is that what it is? Yes. Where every time you attack, the player loses two life or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a
like,
nice one.
And you can bestow one on something and just get added benefit, that's amazing.
They, in the most recent Star City Open they had, going on this weekend, they had a Jund bestow deck. Pretty much, where I think it was Jund, or maybe it was like black with the splash and another color, but they had Spiteful Return, they had Herald of Torment, and like it just made a lot of sense, especially with the rampant use of like Supreme Verdict and stuff like that. Cool. This is a bestow is an awesome way to get around Wrath. You know, you bestow a Spiteful Return on a Herald of Torment.
Yeah, it still drops down to a 3-3 flyer.
You get a Herald of Torment or a Spiteful Return in return, and then you can bestow onto that. You know, it's just, it's great because it gives you so much versatility and you can attack from so many different angles with the deck that, I really feel like bestow is the way to go forward.
Well, I feel like now, like, the whole meta is shifting. The way it's shifting now is more towards, like, aggro because there's control so prevalent in, like, the competitive, this meta right now,
yeah.
It is just ridiculous how much control is like out there. So like a lot of people are kind of like trying to get under control and by going like super fast, super quick, deck,
or like
just cool.
There's like the Naya Hexproof deck.
Or yeah, yeah, like, the Hexproof
that where that shit comes out and it's fast and then they can't use their remove on it. They can use like Supreme Verdict, but that's pretty much like,
or
what
like
they
Devour
got.
Flesh.
Or like yeah. Devour Flesh, whatever.
But those are the only two that really like hit mm-hmm. it reliably.
Right.
Like I've been just got fucked up. On, what's the one drop? The Hexproof?
Glade Clover.
It's one green for a 1/1 with Hexproof, Glade Cover Scout. And they just started piling shit yep. on it, and
you
then,
don't have it,
like,
dude.
Turn three, I was like, almost dead.
And
like,
you're holding
what
your
the shit?
Down for
where the fuck
whatever,
is
whatever.
Like,
yeah,
it doesn't
like
matter,
that.
You know?
Yeah. It's, well, it's ridiculous.
Aggro strategies are very well positioned right now, especially the more temples they print. Because everybody's playing 12 temples, pretty much, if you're a 2 or 3 color deck. And aggro strategies really punish that, because your lands come into tap, so theoretically...
You're one turn behind.
You're always yeah. one turn behind playing, trying to play on curve. And so just a quick, like, aggro deck that can do, like, you know, 2 damage turn 1, or, you know, it can do, like, 4, 6, 8 damage turns 2 or 3, like, you really put them behind, and I think that's where a lot of these decks are going to go.
So they're playing, like, only shocks, basically, right? Like, if you're going to play...
They play,
just,
like,
just
monocolor
basic.
Or dual color, like, they'll play a couple of scry lands, but they're mostly going to play in shocks because, you know, they don't really care about their own life toll.
Right.
They're going to kill you before you have a chance to recover.
Right, right, right.
So I think that's, you know, that's the way to go, pretty much. If you want to go to, like, a tournament, FNM, something like that, especially with a lot of control, too, playing mostly 3-color control decks. There's a lot of 4 and 5 color control decks I've been seeing.
4 and 5 color control decks? What
yeah,
the hell is
exactly.
that?
Exactly. So, Jesus Christ. You really want to punish them, and that's the best way is by attacking the mana base with quick creatures, so you not allow them to play anything.
Jeez. What are the. Because there's mono black aggro.
Mm-hmm.
There's See. Red deck wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always, red deck wins will always be
around. And then there's like the burn.
The Boros burn.
The Boros burn.
Like, Reich's Boros burn. That's you nailed it pretty much with what you did.
Yeah.
You didn't have the shock lands, but I mean, you basically had everything.
And Mutavault. Mutavault's a huge
and
thing.
Mutavault.
Yes.
Which keeps me from being a competitive deck. The one I built is more like a budget mono burn.
That's close.
A,
I mean, you
Boros
just
burn.
Add two
it's
cards,
pretty
right?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same as everyone's playing. It's just minus the
chicken ass. I mean, it's like, I'd say it's like, a TCG player, it's in the top 10 of all the decks that are on there, you know?
And that's
great for fucking $50 or whatever it costs, even with the Shocklands, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's like a staying deck, just because as soon as the metagame shifts again, it's probably going to be, you know, hated out or whatever.
Boros is going away with Gatecrash, dude.
Yeah,
time.
For sure.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
When you lose Boros Charm, you lose a lot of your damage. You're going to lose your Warlord's Helix, which is a lot of your damage and your staying power. But, I mean, it's a fun deck for right now because there's so much control in, like, mid-range decks where you just, you know, you don't even care about what they're doing. Just keep throwing spells in their face. Yeah. But, yeah, I think aggro right now is really well positioned. I think there's a black-white aggro deck that's out there too. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, there's the black-red.
Yeah, black-red.
And then there's green-red, which is also another good aggro deck. And then, you know, there's the mono-color aggro decks.
What's cool, like, I like this meta, like, this standard right now, because, like, even though, like, you know, control and mono-black have been so dominant, there's still, like, decks that are coming out to answer those, and there's even, like, fringe decks seeing, like, good play, like the green, the green black reanimator deck that just like people have been playing. It's still like a fringe deck. It's not like, you know, super good. I mean, it can have its moments where it's just like blowout crazy. But I mean, you're seeing a lot of different like variety decks. I think there was even like someone was playing like an aggro green red deck, which was like, you know, kind of a throwback to the previous standard, where they were running with like the Thunder Maw Hellkite and like all those expensive red green cards. But I mean, I think they're kind of moving away from mid range, which is, you know, cause mid range just gets hated out so hard by, card removal, like hand removal from mono black.
Well, when your mana base really, you know, is the only thing that's really hurting you, you're shocking yourself or you're taking a turn off to play something, like aggro is just, it's so good. And like, you know, going back to your Boros Burn deck, like, one of the things I want to say is that the meta changed so quickly that mono black started including Staff of the Death Magus.
Oh, I know. I see the sideboard.
And it's sideboard just to gain that life. If you can gain like 3 life in like the entire game, you're putting the Boros Burn deck like so far behind because they're going to run out of gas. They're not, you know, they might not draw into a burn spell. And, you know, you're just gaining that incremental, like, life every single
time. So what we're saying is we need to invest in the staff of...
Well, like, well, the staff...
go on TCG's player, buy up 100 of those cards.
Well, the staff, it's like, it's an artifact, right? So is it red-black or just a black artifact?
It's just, it's an artifact that whenever you play a black spell or a swamp, you gain one life.
So, yeah. 3 colors.
So, yeah, that's the thing that bones over burn the most is any kind of life gain. Like, Whip of Erebos is really hard for it. Yeah. Cause they're not really... The Boros Burn doesn't run any kind of way to deal with artifacts or enchantments.
And those things, like they do not have late game. Yeah. Like, the Rakdos has no late game at all. Like, everything is 2-1s and 3-1s and this and that. Like, once it goes to turn 8, they're like, that's it. They're going to concede right there because there's just no fucking way.
Like, the only card you have for late game is Rakdos Return. Mm-hmm. And that even says you have to have a lot of mana on the board to actually do anything. Right. So. And you don't really play that many of them because you don't want to have an opening hand of 2 Rakdos Returns in your hand. So as an aggro deck, that's not what you want to see as an opening hand.
Yeah, like that's the only reason. Like my red green monsters deck. That's the only reason I want to go Jund now is freaking some of those just those black red cards, which are pretty good. But we'll have to see how what Nyx brings to us during the Nyx, because I'm really hoping it shakes up the meta even more again.
So what? Let's look at just real quick. Look at the remaining gods that are out there.
So that what, are gonna 4 come gods, out. I think, that are coming out.
I think there's 5
or 5.
5.
Yeah, there's 5. There's
so exciting.
Kufrix is 1.
Kufrix, Freaka, Iorius, whatever.
Yeah, Iorius. Is that the white god or the white green? What is he?
Not white green.
I think it's white red.
White red.
Okay, yeah, so red. There's. Athreos, God of Passage, which is the white black.
Yeah.
There is Karanos, God of Storms, which is the blue red.
Excited about
blue red. Do you think blue red can come back from this? I don't know.
Blue red's coming back. Is it Blitz? Is on the return?
I think has been just hated so much just because it was so good in like Legacy and Modern.
And it was good with the Innistrad and all that shit going on. Exactly. So I don't think that's happening. All
right. So there's Farika, God of Affliction, which is the black green, which I'm super excited for. There's Iroas, God of Victory, which is the Boros god, the red-white.
So he's red-white, yeah, okay.
And then Krufix, God of Horizons, which is green-blue.
What?
Which I'm excited to see. Like, I don't plan on playing it, but I'm just excited to see what the fuck it is.
I'm going to play that shit, no problem. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Just the art, he has, like, what, 8 dicks or something like that?
Yeah, he has, like, 4 hands or something.
Oh, dude, blue green. Hands, not dicks.
Blue-green is finally going to have a fucking top-tier deck.
I think Rugs with the Rug is going to be a huge thing.
I think it's going to be fucking huge, dude. Especially, and then even when, like, M15 comes out, because it'll have that 3 months of... You know, just really finishing up the block and having all this variety, I think that blue-green is going to be fucking powerful as hell, dude.
Yeah. It's like a 3-color deck with a base blue-green is going to be, like, pretty good. It's going to be pretty good.
I think you're going to have their home.
But those are all the gods. Is that 5 or 4?
There's 5. So it finishes out the
color cycles.
Yeah, the... Double
the guilds.
Oh yeah, the guilds.
The guilds.
Excuse me.
The color combinations. 2 color combinations.
Turner Abacus is still in standard, so they're guilds.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that shit.
Obsidat has like 4 devotion. You know what I mean? Like has 2
yes,
white, 2 black. There's all kinds of stuff coming out that now is going to have like a home for devotion.
You know what? I didn't even think about like devotion for these multicolored gods. Dude, I totally forgot that that was a thing because I don't play with any of the fucking gods.
There's a lot of stuff that is going to be hitting off, like the Prime Speaker Zagata. That's two blue and two green. Mm. There's Jared, whatever the hell his name
is.
Two green, two black.
I was just thinking about him.
There's a lot of this that's been sitting there dormant, and now it's going to be huge. Yeah,
finally they get their devotion enablers and stuff.
Yeah.
I think Obji that is one that's going to like spike. That. It's going to spike in price like no other.
Yeah, Obji that's going to go up, you know, and they have, and it has that stack effect. If you guys are not familiar with Whip of Erebos, like Whip of Erebos at the end, when you bring it back using its ability, you can, on top of that, when you bring back,
first of all, so if Obzat dies and it goes to the graveyard.
Right.
And continues.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's Obzat, the first thing for this cut to work.
Obzat, when he comes out, he does 2 damage and you gain 2 health. And at the end of each end step, then you exile him and then you'll bring him back next turn. But if he dies, if he was to die by an instant removal spell during that turn, you can't do anything about it. You can use the whip to bring him back. And the whip is supposed to bring things back, permanence back for just that turn and then exile afterwards. Well, they both say at the end step exile, you can stack it the way you want it. So you stack it
with the Obzat on top. Trigger first and then the whip, because once the Obzat goes into exile, the whip's going to be like, okay, you have to exile it now. And it's going to see it's already in the exiled zone.
Yeah.
So it's going to fill the requirement and not make it so you can't bring it back.
Right. So that's already been happening with like some reanimator stuff and whatever else. But now that it has like the god and it, I just feel like that's, like you said, it's going to spike in price.
Start popping off.
It's going to be fucking beautiful.
It's a 5/5 with haste that, you know, pretty much every time it comes back.
With
life link. It gains you 2 life and it drains 2 life. So you're hitting the, 4-point life total swing.
Right.
You know, and it's just hard to kill because, you know, you have to have an instant speed removal spell to take care of it or else you're never going to be able to.
He's a big body too. He's a 5/5,
right? Exactly. 5/5. It can take out a Pelucranos, which sees a lot of play, obviously, and stuff like that. So,
There's no red burn spells really that can handle that.
Faded conflagration.
That's the only one that does a 5/5.
Conflagration.
But you need 3 red and 1 colorless, which, I mean, you're going to be pretty much base red.
Seriously.
And if you have to use that card to get rid of Obzat, you're pretty much going to be losing the game.
Whip is gonna bring it back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so ridiculous, man.
Me personally, because I play the mono black devotion online a lot, and I do play some black and some paper. I'm not too fond of the whip. You know, like a lot of times when I have it, it's just artifact enchantment that says I get lifelink.
Yeah, I don't play it either.
I don't really bring anything back, you know, because especially in the mono black deck, you know, I try to bring back a Desecration Demon for 1 turn. I spend 4 mana, they sacrifice a token, and they tap it down, and I can't even tap it.
Right, right.
So like,
there's a lot of things where it's not suited.
You definitely have to have a deck that's built around, you know, the graveyard, or interacting with the graveyard to actually utilize it to like to its fullest. Which there are some out there now that green black's
going to have a god. I think it's going to be reanimated. It's gonna be big, I think.
I think junk's gonna be huge. With junk is white, black, and green. So you put like you know, whip in there, and then you put the new white black god in there, and then the black green god as well. Because I think they're all gonna revolve around like lifelink in the graveyard. Because that's kind of like kind of like their themes. So I just, you know, I want to do that, and then I want to do like
so
Angel of Serenity, and like which is it's a 5/6 flyer. That whenever it enters the battlefield, you exile 3 creatures.
No, that card's a
so
house
it can be,
from
it can
graveyard
be
your, or battlefield.
Yeah, it can be your opponent's creatures, it can be your own creatures in your graveyard, and then when it dies, it puts them back into play.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's
and then you have a sacrifice
thing.
Outlet for it or something, and you can bring it's just
exactly.
A huge combos popping off.
That Honorable Connect, I'm just so stoked about junk. I think that's gonna be my new deck. I'm gonna try
before.
So. I've actually built just a little crappy version of the Reanimator deck. But it's, when it hits, it fucking hits.
Yeah.
With Obsidat's aid on turn 5, bringing out Ashen Rider.
It's a 5 mana, you get to return, target creature.
Permanent?
Yeah,
permanent. From your graveyard into play.
Yeah, so you bring it back straight, sorcery speed, you bring it back from the graveyard into play. So bringing out an Ashen Rider, which is, what is it,
It's an 5/5 flyer, so whenever it enters the battlefield or leaves, you get to exile target permanent.
Done.
So yeah, it's not non-creature,
you know,
non-creature
like,
permanent.
No, I think it's any permanent.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
So it's any permanent. And then I also have the,
was it Sylvan Primordial, the green one?
Yeah.
And that's the, when it comes into play, so it's like a 6/6 or something for six, seven. And so when you bring it in, you destroy target non-creature permanent, and for every non-creature permanent, you search your library. For forest.
For forest, yeah. Okay.
So the forest part doesn't really matter, but it's nice. You can destroy one of their lands, or, you know, if they have enchantments or fucking whatever the case may be.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything. So I've been, you know, I've been fucking around with that online. And
yeah, I just picked up a playset of that because they're cheap and in paper. And then I picked up a playset of, like, Herald Torment. I picked up a playset of, what's the blue-white enchantment that...
Attention sphere.
Just some things that I feel like for the next 6 months are going to be, they're going to be in every fucking deck that can use them, you know?
Yeah.
Detention Sphere is actually a really good one. It's actually, it's surprising that Detention Sphere is more than Supreme Verdict. Cause, you know, I would think Supreme Verdict would be more expensive, but apparently, like, it's not very used in, like, the older formats.
Okay.
Which helps determine a lot of the value to the cards.
Gotcha.
And Detention Sphere is more used, and you know, Detention Sphere is just such a strong card.
Oh, it's so strong
that if you're playing white and blue, you have to play Detention Sphere.
I wish it was never printed.
No, seriously, it ruins every strategy.
It should just had Oblivion Ring. Why not just Oblivion Ring?
You know, I noticed that like the mono blue is now splashing in white just for that. Like they're playing the temples and they're playing the Hollowed Fountain or whatever the hell it's called.
Hollowed Fountain,
and they're just putting four Detention Spheres in it, and it's making everything better.
And like one or two Afaras in there, and then that's
what's the Afaras? What's that?
The Afara God Apolis, the god,
right,
white blue god. Then whenever a creature enters, you get to draw a card next.
It's fantastic.
Really good. But yeah, fucking standard right now. So good. Can't wait till after fucking next time.
Well, it's like the main thing is just like...
Go away, though. That guy can't suck a dick.
There's a lot of cards I'm waiting for. Well, especially Lifebane Zombie is probably the card from M14. I just cannot wait till it leaves.
It is like the best card right now.
I'm not fucking wait. I have nightmares every night about Lifebane Zombie taking all my green creatures out of my hand.
You for three.
It's like, you have Intimidate or 3/1/2. Oh, let's get discard one of your good green creatures too.
Or white. You know, if you're playing, you know, Selesnya, I mean, even Lifebane Zombie can hit an Obsidian or Blood Baron. That's it. Can hit a Blood Baron
green
too.
Or white.
They're white creatures. Like, Lifebane Zombie's like, so good.
It's white or green creatures, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, like, you can't really play green or white reliably when you're going against, you know, they play Swamp turn one, you're just like, crap, well, there goes all my good cards.
Yes, literally, this one...
Lifebane Zombie it away.
This one creature stops you from playing green or white, like, cards, like, competitively, because just this one card hates on that color so good.
And it's good against Elspeth, which is really good, too, because it has Intimidate. So, like, you can just, like, bypass their tokens and deal with the Elspeth.
Go right in, that's nice. Like,
and it flies under the four power radar, exactly. You can't minus three or minus two Elspeth to get rid of it. Yeah. It only has three power.
Yeah, three power is good, man.
It's so good right now. It's a card. It's insane.
It's like $5 right now on paper.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is not, I mean, it's pretty expensive for an M14 little whatever card.
I was able to pick up a bunch when I was making the... making that abomination of
what is it?
The demon deck.
What is it?
Remember?
Shadowborn.
I was making a Shadowborn deck.
The apostles or whatever.
Yeah, so I picked up some of those
40 Shadowborn apostles. Yeah. Like one demon.
You know, those things are like, they're like $1 for those one, for those two. I'm like, who's fucking paying $1 for that card? Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh man. So funny. Yeah. I like standard right now, even though greens hate it out so hard, but it's still good.
I think things are definitely going to change once, Journey of the Nyx comes out. Like, we're starting to see, like we're talking about, that the evolution of standard where things aren't like shaken up, but you know, you start to see a little change here, a little change there. The mono black, mono blue, and the control decks are starting to have to put in other cards to deal with certain other decks that are creating problems for them. So I think that's only gonna get worse, or in my case, better, for Journey into Nyx. I seriously can't wait till the fucking blue white X control decks are fucking gone.
No.
Like at least the current iteration of them, because I'm sure, you know, they'll still be control decks or whatever, but I just can't stand playing against, like, on Moto in the tournament practice room, if I'm practicing, like with a brew or a deck or whatever, or just having fun,
I will concede if I go up against a blue-white control deck or a blue-white X deck. A quickness, got it in paper a long time ago, and so I've gone up against it so many times, and it's all over online.
It's going to take you 6 months to get through one round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The next standard will be rotation by the time you're done with that game.
My beard's going to be down to my knees exactly. By the time I'm done with the fucking game.
Sweater.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I love playing Magic, so I picked a deck that suits it. I get to have like 50-minute rounds all the time. You know, I don't play Magic for like 10 minutes. Oh, I won. Okay,
it's okay, guys. It's okay. I know. What's coming in next? It's gonna be like an enchantment card that's zero mana. You pay 4 life, and it's like protection. Your hand gains protection from this card. Fuck black.
No, we're talking about control, not black.
Well, control splash. This is black for all the discard, like Thotsies. Like I just need a card that just hates Thotsies.
Thotsies and the rest.
That was such a dumb card.
Like Lifebane Zombie.
Hate you, Wizard.
Maybe like Thought Block or something like that. Like another one mana, like, this card is good against Thotsies. That's it. That's all it is. They still lose 2 life. Block their Thotsies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely making a discard deck. One of my first, like, brews was a Rats deck, and it was just... all about discarding and getting their hand down to zero, and then they took like damage for not having cards in their hand. And so, there's a spoiler for M15. Spoilers, by the way, for those who don't know, are cards that aren't put out yet, but they, you know, they spoiled them. They said it's a little teaser for what's coming up.
Peek. They're not out yet, but you get to see what they
are. Get you hyped about the sets coming out. You'd be like, oh, you know, I can play with these cards.
Get your dollar bills ready.
So, exactly. So it's like, oh, this card's really cool. I'm gonna play the card, so I'm gonna buy the deck that revolves around it, you know.
Speculation's fun.
Yeah. So I keep seeing like little discard cards here and there, like obviously Thotsies, obviously Duress. There's the
Lifebane Zombie.
There's the flyer that came out in Born of the Gods. The
Herald of Torment.
The one, the Inspired.
Because Inspired is the heroic one. I know the heroic one. No, Ashiok's Adept.
No, well, I'm gonna throw in that one too.
Yeah.
But it's the 2-1 flyer of the Silent Song.
Oh, Sire of the Silent Song.
Right. Something like that. So when it untaps, they discard a card.
Okay. Sin Collector is another one that's always in the sideboards for a white-black.
In M15, I forget if we talked about it or not in previous podcasts, but it's a black enchantment for 1 and a black. Whenever an opponent discards a creature card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. Whenever an opponent discards a land card, add 2 swamps to your mana pool. Whenever an opponent discards a non-creature, non-land card, draw a card.
That's the what's coming in M15, right?
That's coming in M15. Yeah. So want to get just prepared for it. I already have Thought Seizes. Everything else that right now for that deck, which I'm sure is going to change, but everything that I want for the deck is like super cheap, so I'm just like getting ready for it. Mm-hmm. So as soon as that card comes out, I can have the deck and just start playing it. It's like Primeval Bounty.
So but I was going to say, it sounds like that. You should get the black.
At 2 mana though.
At two mana! It's so cheap!
It's behind the curve of Thotsies, but it's still fuck you black.
It doesn't even, you can drop this on turn 2 and then Thotsies 3 times.
You do that, and then you get the Primeval Bounty. Because you have, like, the black, green deck, whatever.
Yeah.
And so every time, like, you cast something to make them discard something, then you get to bring out or put 3 counters on something. Like, you get to have 2 triggers for each one and shit like that.
So
that'd be fucking
awesome.
So
you go, what is it called? Waste Not is the card that Knife City was talking about. So turn 2, Waste Not. Turn 3, Lifebane Zombie. You know, like, turn 4, Thotsies, Lifebane Zombie again, you know, and you're just... And then you go up to like Primeval Bounty, you're playing creatures and you're disrupting their hand still, and it's just...
Oh my god, I'm just so excited! I'm so excited!
Dude, I'm not... Get the whip and bring stuff back, or something like that, and just keep screwing them over every time.
When M15 comes out and M14's still legal and standard, and like all the Ravnica's still legal, I'm just not even gonna play. I'm just gonna go underground for like a fucking couple months until...
There haven't been a lot of cards.
It's going to feel like Modern, where you're just like, you can't fucking keep winning.
I'm appalled that fucking Wizards is like, oh yeah, waste not. That's M15. Let's go and do that. Black is like all these, you know, awesome discard spells.
They need it.
Oh, Thoughtseize is in the format. Oh, let's go put this in here.
Poor Black. They need something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's throw Black a bone here.
They've been so weak for so long.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
There hasn't been a lot of cards that have been banned that just got released, but Waste Not is one of those cards that if they print something that they did not catch, I can see it getting banned in standard.
What's the one that just makes you discard two cards? It's like in every fucking
Mind Rot.
Mind Rot. Boom. There you go. It's so fucking good.
God, I hate,
oh my god.
Hate and Wizards right now.
And just for those who don't know, Primeval Bounty was an M14. It's 5 and a green. Whenever you cast a creature spell, put a 3/3 green beast token on the battlefield. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put 3/1/1 counters on target creature. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 3 life.
It's a fantastic card. It costs a lot though.
Yeah, it costs a lot, but...
Luckily green has ramp though, so you can get it out there.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yes.
As a green red player, I am not excited.
As a control player, I'm not excited. Shit. I need all my cards.
Everybody's not excited except for me.
I think control is annoying. Wait until you put that. Then I understand
black is like all about like, you know, hand disruption and that kind of like
just death, just killing stuff.
I hate it though. I hate it so much.
Especially, yeah, you play.
Oh god, it's like, I need my cards. I need my creatures. Yeah. Please.
Kill your hand. Kill your life.
Kill your mom.
Well, oh well.
So yeah, what do you guys do anything with brews lately? I mean, I talked about a little bit of my Reanimator deck, but you know, I'll go into that.
I'm playing some wacky brews on Modo. Like I put together, it's like a Possibility Storm deck.
I put one together too.
It's usually like red white, and then I think I use green as well. Red white green.
Oh, you're going red white green?
Yeah, okay. I use the whole combo. It's like a combo deck in standard. Essentially, it uses a card called Possibility Storm, which is an enchantment. It's a red enchantment.
3/2 red. Whenever a player casts a spell from his or her hand, that player exiles it, then exiles cards from the top of his or her library until he or she exiles a card that shares a card type with it. That player may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then he or she puts all cards exiled with Possibility Storm on the bottom of his or her library in a random order.
So it's a wall of text card that, like, every time I play online, if someone, like, you know, I'm just playing in the Just for Fun or the tournament, right? It's like, everyone pauses for, like, 2 minutes.
They see it on the stack, and then you just have, like, a 2-minute pause.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But, so essentially the whole combo is you because the Possibility Storm pretty much enables you to, as long as you play another card, because it's a sorcery, you play a sorcery card. Well, essentially, the whole combo is you want to get this card, Possibility Storm, out on the board as soon as possible. It's like, I think it's 5 mana.
Yeah.
So by turn 5, you hope to have that out. And you also playing another card in your deck, which is a sorcery speed card, which is called Enter the Infinite, which is it's like a 12 mana card.
It's like 8 and 4 blue.
Yeah, it's 8 colorless, 4 fucking blue mana. And essentially that card it's a sorcery card, but when you play that card, you draw all your cards in your deck. So if you have like 42 cards in your deck, you draw all your cards at that time, and then you put one card from your hand back on top of your deck.
So basically you have one that turn to play.
And it allows you, I think it's two turns to play any card from your hand without having to discard back to 7 cards.
And it says you have no maximum hand size until your next turn.
You have no maximum hand size. So you can have a 41 card, you know, hand size or whatever, how many cards you draw. But essentially you combo off that. So you get the Possibility Storms out on the board. Then you play a sorcery speed, card. That triggers
a sorcery card.
Or a sorcery card that triggers the Possibility Storm. So when you play, say, like, I run, not divination.
Commune with the Gods?
Commune with the Gods was the green card. It's a sorcery speed card. So I play, Commune with the Gods, and it triggers the Possibility Storm, which says you pretty much exile, you know, however many cards until you hit another sorcery card in your deck. And so you play the Commune with Gods, and you hope it exiles in your deck down to a Enter the Infinite, and you can play that card without having to pay its mana cost. So you pretty much, you're exchanging one card for another card in your deck, essentially.
Turn 6, you're casting an 11 mana cost.
Yeah, so like the whole combo is you play that out, the Possibility Storm, you play another sorcery, either that turn or the next turn, and then hopefully the next sorcery card that you hit that's exiled in your deck is Enter the Infinite. You're able to play Enter the Infinite, draw all your cards out of your library, you put a card back called Burgamos. It's the Enraged.
Yeah.
Which is it's a red green card. It's like, I don't know, it's like 8 mana or something like that.
4 double red, double green.
Yeah, 4 double red, double green. And then, you play that, put that back on top of your library. And then with, hopefully 1 green mana, I play like a Elvish Mystic.
Yeah.
So the card that you put back on your deck is, it's a creature card, even though it's like, you know, 8 mana or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, so when you play your Elvish Mystic that turn, the
only card left.
Yeah, the enchantment card, the Possibility Storm, says you exile your card until you hit another creature card, and you can play that card without paying its cost, which happens to be the Burgamos that's in the library, because that's the only card that you put back with the Enter the Infinite. And then you're able to play Burgamos that turn, which it has the text on it says that you may... The whole combo revolves around discarding lands from your hand, so you have pretty much all your lands in your hand.
Yeah.
And Burgamos allows you to discard one of those lands and deal 3 damage to target player or creature.
Yes.
So you have pretty much like, you know, like 24 lands in your hand, and you just discard all your lands to kill the player.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So you bring out Possibility Storm, and then when you bring that out, you're hoping to hit Enter the Infinite for no mana cost, basically, like a cheap mana cost.
It's pretty much just cheating
out.
And
then when you have that, you discard your lands into this creature to kill your opponent.
Yeah, so you're pretty much playing Possibility Storm to be able to cheat out Enter the Infinite. And then once you have Enter the Infinite, you put your Burgamos on top of your library, and then you play another creature, like a 1 mana or 2 mana creature, which triggers Possibility Storm again to get Burgamos out of the library onto the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, you have all your cards in your hand.
And you just do 30 damage or whatever the hell you can do. More than that.
So it, like you're saying, it's a combo deck. So you still have to make sure that when you do cast your Sorcerer Speed to get Enter the Infinite, you have to make sure that they don't have any possible line of instant speed removal.
Yeah.
Because once you play it, and then it's like, oh, I'm just going to downfall it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at that point, you have to make sure you sequence it right, because you have to make sure you get your first trigger in, and then you're going to have like another removal.
Yeah. It's the best to play it like on, you know, turn 5 or turn 6, like when they're all tapped out, hopefully. But, it's a combo deck. It's really hard to hit.
It's fun, man.
Sometimes it's hard to hit the combo. So like a lot of times it doesn't work.
Well, what I've done is, I've put in one copy of Sylvan Primordial and I put in one copy of Action Rider. So if I run Communion with Gods, I run 4 Communion with Gods and I run 2 Enter the Infinites. So the Communal Gods is great because it helps me, if I have like 2 in my hand and I haven't hit a Possibility Storm by like turn 5, I'll just cast it because you pull the top 5 cards off your deck and you can put a creature or enchantment card from them into your hand.
Right.
And the rest in the graveyard.
Right.
So I can go searching for it if I need to, which also helps, thin out the sorceries in there. So I'm likely to hit once I get another Communal.
Yeah, you don't want to play too many sorceries because you're trying to cheat out Enter the Infinite and that's a sorcery. So you only want like maybe 3 or 4 sorceries in your whole deck max.
But
so
like,
to increase the chances of hitting it.
I like the, 1 Action Rider and 1 Sylvan Primordial on the deck because it allows me to take care of Detention Sphere. Or anything that's going to stop my, Possibility Storm from, you know,
right,
staying on my
How many Possibility board. Storms do you guys play?
I run 4, yeah.
Okay.
I run 4 Possibility Storms and 4 Enter the Infinites.
I only run 2 Enter the Infinites.
Oh, really?
How much does this silly deck cost? Because it can't cost that much because it's not, like, top tier.
I think the most expensive card was, like, the Burgamos, I think, or something like
Burgamos
that.
Burgamos like and Enter bucks? The Infinite, which Enter is, like, a ticket or 2 online.
Yeah, I think all in total, because I don't play any, like, a lot of people, like, if you're serious about it, you'll play Shocklands and stuff. I just play Gilgates.
Yeah, I play Gilgates and Temples. Like the only thing is, I run green, red, black. Because one thing I've noticed, like if I don't hit any of the combo pieces and I'm just kind of sitting there, like I don't do anything. Like my whole thing is a combo deck. I don't have creatures to attack, like besides like a Elvish Mystic or a Voyaging Satyr or something like that. So I've included 4 downfalls with big creatures, and I've included 1 Thoughtseize, which is another sorcery. So I can hit Enter the Infinite, and I can try to hopefully disrupt their hand from whatever they're trying to do to stop my combo. So it's more of just like fine-tuning the deck. You know, you have your combo pieces, and then you just play what you want to play, however you see fit.
Yeah, I had times where it backfired on me too, though, where, I played Enter the Infinite, and then Possibility Storm, and then the next turn I tried to play like a sorcery, and I didn't hit it, and then the opponent plays like a creature, and ends up hitting like Ashen Rider or something like that, like something stupid on like, you know, turn 6, And it's like, oh, well, like, I lose.
You draw your Bergamos. Like, that's one thing I've been having.
Oh, yeah,
like,
have it in your hand.
Drawing the infinite, enter the infinite, or the Bergamos. Like, drawing it into my hand. So I have to figure out, like, some way
to get it out of your hand.
Get it out of my hand and back in my deck. So, like, I have three copies of Is It Charm, which allow me to draw two cards, discard two cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I can discard my combo pieces, and then I also play
the bow.
I play the bow plus Chromatic Lantern. Because if I have a Possibility Storm out, I can play a Chromatic Lantern, and since the bow is an enchantment artifact, I can Possibility Storm into that, and then put them back into my deck, and then the next turn I can play, and I can combo off or something that.
Yeah. It's definitely tough to do it, but when it happens, it's fun, because the other player just has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Right. They're like, what the fuck's going on here? A deck like this is cheap, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about it, and it sounds like a whole hell of a lot of fun, but realistically, it's not going to win you any Friday Night Magics, you know, unless you, like, you did the combo every fucking game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to happen.
It's more,
you know,
like a deck game. Of chance.
Deck
it,
of
like,
chance, which is fine.
You have lines of play that increase your odds, but it's all about the heart of the cards. Chance. It's all about the chance. You know,
like,
what I mean?
You're opening hands like the most
crucial. If you hit it, they're fucked. If you don't, you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Which means that you can't play it in tournament style because you just can't rely on
that.
But it's fun.
But it's fun. That's what I'm saying is that you got to make sure that it's fun to play with your buddies. But we got to make sure it's cheap enough because you don't want to be spending $90 on something that can't be competitive, even though it can be really fun.
Yeah.
The basics, you know, the most expensive parts, like Reich was saying, is if you want to run shock lands or not. You know, I really like the Scrylands because it helps set up my draw so I can dig through my combo pieces better.
Yeah. You use the Scrylands for everything else.
You always use Scrylands.
So if you were to build this, you want to use Scry over shock.
Oh, yeah. Scrying helps a ton.
Okay.
Like, I play, what's it, the 1-3, the blue, it's a 1/1, 1/3 toughness.
Oh, Omen Speaker?
Omen Speaker that you get to scry 2 or 3.
So it's a nice little chump blocker and you get to smooth out your draw.
Yeah, and you smooth out your draw trying to look for, you know, if you get like, you know, Bergamos on top, you just put it to the bottom or whatever you need. But it's fun. It's definitely not competitive, but yeah, it's one I've been playing with on Modo. And then I build a mono green standard deck on Modo, which is a lot of fun. This one's actually, I almost say it's borderline competitive, but since Lifebane Zombie's out there, it's not that viable, but it's still a lot
of people
of fun.
Running Lifebane Zombie?
I think it's the...
Mono Black is taking out their Night Vale Spectres for Lifebane Zombie.
Because Herald of Torment is just fucking up.
Because Herald of Torment, you have like Mono Blue or other Mono Blacks that run Night Vales that can cast your Night Vale Spectres as well.
Mm.
So... You don't want them to take a Night Vale Spectre now they're getting more card advantage off you.
So that's one of the evolutions that Mono Black's doing is putting
in Life Vale with the, you know, Jund monsters. Just monsters in general are getting so popular that Lifebane Zombie just attacks every, you know, deck in the
farm. It's like a perfect sideboard card.
It attacks green and white creatures, you know, take care of Elspeth so, you know, you don't have to worry about control decks as much. You know, they have to answer it then or else, you know, it's a 3-1 intimidate that they can't block.
But my mono green's pretty fun. It's the main thing. It's just I can aggro mono green aggro. I run a lot of Elvish Mystics. I run the it's kind of like, almost like a mono green devotion aggro because I do run 2 Nykthoses. But I mean, it's cheap. It's like $20. I mean, the most expensive cards I run are like 2 Nykthoses and 2 Nylea Gods, which were like the most expensive on online. But it runs Elvish Mystics. It runs for 2 drops. It runs the Bush Riders, which is a 1 colorless, 1 green. It's a 3/3/1 body, but it has vigilance, which is really cool. I run, of course, the emissaries, the
Burning Tree Emissaries.
Burning Tree Emissaries, because it just the combo power and then the devotion enables is so crazy.
Yeah.
And then also the other powerhouse cards that I run are the Reverent Hunters, which is a devotion based card where it's 3 mana green card that when it comes on the battlefield it gains I think counters. Its power and toughness is equal to the, it's like a 1/1, but it gets power and toughness to how much devotion to green you have.
Yeah.
So like, if you combo correctly with, you know, like an Elvis Mystic turn 1, and then turn 2, you have like Burning Tree, and then turn 3, you bust out one of the Reverent Hunters. He's like a freaking, like 6/6, like on turn 3.
Right.
Now, which is crazy.
Do you run, experiment ones in your...
Oh, I do have experiment ones too.
One line of play I thought was really interesting that, I heard was, you have like an experiment one, and then, like you go into like turn 3 Burning Tree Emissary into, the Brush Rider. So now you evolve your experiment one twice, so you have the 2 counters on it. And then turn 4, you're playing a control deck, they Supreme Verdict, Well,
that thing stays alive.
You know, you keep your.
You can regenerate them.
You know, you keep your. Your
experiment one. If you remove 2 1-1 counters, you get to regenerate them. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is great.
And then, like, my curve tops out at like 5, with I think it's Annihilus 5 or 4 mana.
Annihilus 4.
I don't run like too many high end cards. Like I have the Annihilus, and then I have 4 of the Deadbridge Goliaths in place of Pelucranos. And then I run 4.
What is that? What's the Goliath?
The Goliath is a 4. It's 2 green and 2 colorless, and it's a 5/5 body. But it has the scavenge ability, where Pelucranos has the monstrous ability. But this is, it's like you can scavenge for 7 mana, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which scavenge means is you can pretty much, if it's in the graveyard, you pay the scavenge price, and you can put the 5/5 counters on a creature that's on the board. But I mean, it's a lot of fun, especially when you combo off with the Nykthos. Like I love the freaking the Hydras in this deck, because if you have like all your brain trees out and like all these, you know, like Dead Goliath, everything that the name
of a lot of devotion, yeah.
And then I run the Satyrs that untap a land, so you can combo off the Satyrs to untap your Nykthos again and activate it again.
Yeah.
So like I've had a game where I had like 24 floating mana, and I just pumped it all into a. Miscutter Hydra for like it was a 23-23 with haste, and it's like the guy just like quit, like I'm done.
Great.
I quit. Like that was the first game too, so like we didn't even get to the sideboard and go to the second game.
That's pretty sick.
He just quit out of everything.
I like it,
but yeah, it's a lot. It's cheap too. I mean, it's something fun.
You know, one thing I wish is that Nykthos was more of a player in the current meta. I get to see some play. I can do some fancy things, but like, there's only one deck that I've seen that actually can like utilize it to its fullest, which is it's a modern deck. It's a Genesis Wave deck. You know, the whole thing is that it plays a lot of creatures that have casting costs equal to its devotion. So it's like it's a double green or a triple green,
right?
Things like that. So that's using
but no colorless mana to bring
not
it
really
out.
Any colorless, like stuff. It's, and you play those, and they're pretty much free with Nykthos because you have a lot of things that can untap lands. And so you play those, you know, off your devotion with Nykthos. You untap it, you tap it again for more mana, and then you play Genesis Wave, which, you know, it exiles the top cards where it's like triple green and X. So you pay that plus X, and then you get to play the top X of your cards as long as the card's mana cost is less than X.
Okay.
So you can put out, like, 17 cards at once, which is Genesis Wave and Nykthos. And, like... You don't really see that much power with Nykthos in Standard, which I really want to see because I think it's
it might have its time.
It looks like such a fun card.
Miscutter is a good card for that.
Miscutter is really fun.
Yeah, but
really
like, nice
card. There's not a lot of like X cards for creatures.
Yeah.
Well, it's like heavily devotion based. So
yeah,
I mean,
plus it's legendary.
Yeah, so and like, I don't know. I think that the monocolor decks are eventually gonna fall off a little bit. Maybe I'm thinking. I mean, there is a lot of devotion, but it looks like with the with the multicolored gods, you know, like so like one color devotion decks aren't going to be super prevalent, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think you're
so
right.
So I think Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
Shrine to Nyx. So it'll probably see its day in the sun in the older formats where they can like just abuse the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have a home. But like in the red green monsters or just in a mono green deck, I think that's where it can be abused in Standard right now. I don't see why like mono black doesn't play it, but I guess they don't need to like ramp into mono.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of ramp that you need, and you don't have anything that you can just pump all that mana into. Like,
right,
once you have like 20 black mana, like, what are you gonna do with it?
You play you play 16 creatures and you play 4 Underworld Connections. So you don't really have a lot of permanence on the board to provide devotion with.
Yeah, but I was just thing. Like not in the current mono black. Yeah. Like there are mono black cards that cost quite a lot that you could use for it, but that's just they're not popular in the current meta right now.
Like one cool thing is Courser and Nykthos, which I think is just a strong combo in itself. You have Nykthos, you tap it, you gain the mana for your devotion, and then with Courser you put the Nykthos into play from the Courser. And then you tap it again and you just generate so much mana. You gain the one life from the Nykthos. You know, you ditch your tap Nykthos, play the fresh one, get all this bunch of mana.
Stupid things.
I just like that. I want to see Nykthos, like, really take off, but I feel like that...
I think we'll have to wait until stuff rotates out, and then we'll see where the mono colors stand. But, I mean, mono red always be around, but well, if an M15, if mono red gets any kind of, like, you know... like you can pay XX and does like I was thinking like the geyser it's an instant spell it's a
volcanic geyser
where it's like you can do XX damage to player or creature it's
a X red
yeah
so you need,
but you
know,
can pump all this mana into it to like do like a crazy kill but I haven't seen any. I was thinking about doing something like that but I'm like I'm just thinking about all the other cards out right now it's like there's nothing really that great for red, yeah. For like a devotion wise, but, that's probably most of what I'm playing right now on Moto is the mono green. I'm playing that a lot cause it has some crazy fun things, but I think I'm going to do, this is a good time to like, you know, we have a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. If Lance Could Kill, if you search it on YouTube, which we're putting up deck techs and kind of like plays, on Moto that we've been, you know, games we'll be playing and hopefully either this week or next week, I'm going to go ahead and do some more recordings and show that, mono green. I'm going to do deck tech on it. And then do play a couple games and, you know, show people how it works. Or even maybe in the Possibility Storms one too.
Yeah.
Just so if people are interested, they can see how it plays out and like how the combo works.
I might try and mess around with Nykthos and Mindgrind.
Oh, okay.
Because I love to mill and that's like really the only like blue black X spell that's like you could really pump something into. So Mindgrind is, it's a blue black X. Each opponent reveals cards from the top of his or her library until he or she reveals X land cards and then puts all X, and then puts all cards revealed this way into his or her graveyard. Obviously X can't be zero. But I'd like to like brew with it, you know, just to try and get something going with it, but it probably won't be anything special, but I'll get that one game where I just like mind grind somebody for like 25 and they're just like, fuck this!
I only run 23 lands.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
yeah.
And then it'll never work
out. Or they just counter it.
Yeah.
You rely on this one card, you're all excited, and they just
dispel. One mana.
Yeah. But did anyone have any decks that they've been working on or playing with? Crazy?
Just had like a little, like, shell I was starting to brew. I don't know where the rest of the support's gonna come from, but it's a rug. It's gonna be a rug deck.
Which is what?
It is red, blue, green. And it's gonna play
U means blue.
Yes.
Is that what that is?
What?
I thought that was like
blue doesn't start with U.
B is black. U is blue.
B is for black.
The cow says.
The thing this with episode that, is brought the to you by the color blue. They have blue and black, which will start with B, right? So they're like, okay, black is B, so we'll make blue L. But black also has L as the next letter in it, so that's why they went to U.
Black is so... That's just like black, like hog everything asshole. Up,
yeah.
Try and dominate
why do they get
the world.
Advantage? What is it? What's going on here? Is there an order? Is there an order for the colors? Does Magic say like this is the official order of the colors?
Wooburg? Yes. Okay. So it's like white, blue, black...
Erg.
Green, red.
Erg.
So I don't know. But
black's the worst.
That's cool. It's really
except when it comes to people.
Yeah.
The more you know.
This is fucking half the battle.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, it's a rug deck I was brewing. It revolves around Prophet of Crew Fix, which is a 3 blue green for a 2/3 where you get to untap all permanents you control on your opponent's upkeep. And then all creatures can be cast as though they had flash, which is really important because the next card in the little combo is the Mercurio Chemister, which is a 3 blue-red for a 2/3. And the text on it says you pay a blue and you tap it, you draw 2 cards. You play red and tap it, you get to discard a card, and it deals damage to target creature equal to the converted mana cost of the discarded card. So it's one of those things where I really liked Prophet of Crufix when it came out. I really wanted to play it. But the main problem I saw a lot of people have that were running it is that you pretty much, it was a dead card. It was a 2/3 that allowed creatures to come and flash because every time they untap on their opponent's upkeep, they didn't really do anything. Like, they have some creatures they can play, but you get to a point where you don't have any cards.
Yeah, it's good for, like, a turn or two, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you end up to a point where you don't really have any cards in your hand, and you're just sitting there. It's like, well, now I have a 2/3 I spent, you know, 5 mana on that's really can't do anything now because I'm facing down a 6/6 desecration.
You know what the biggest problem is, though? Dice of Doomblade.
It does Dice of Doomblade. It does Dice of Doomblade too. But you know, World Spire Worm Dice of Doomblade too as well. But it
turns into three other 5-5s.
Yeah, which also Dice of Doomblade.
That's a 4 Doomblade.
Well, you know, those decks run in 8 Doomblades. It's hard to beat those guys.
I was thinking about putting in a rug control. I was thinking about running dissolves, 4 of, and then I was thinking of like some combination between, counterflux, which is, 2 blue and a red.
All
yeah, yeah,
quickens.
2 blue and a red. You get to counter target spell. It has overload for 4, and you, this counter spell cannot be countered. So once you counter something, they cannot recounter it, or counter your counter. And then, you know, plasm capture maybe. Just because, you know, I'm gonna have a lot of cards, I'm gonna wanna play a lot of things.
What's plasm capture?
Plasm capture is 2 green, 2 blue, counter target spell, and, on your next upkeep, you get mana in any color combination equal to the converted mana cost of which you counter.
Kinda like a mana leak. Isn't it?
Not really, because mana leak is a 2-mana counter that they have to pay 3.
Oh, you have to pay 3.
You have to pay 3 or else it's countered.
Oh.
Plasm capture is so badass, but it is so hard to cast with 2 green and 2 blue.
It's
kind of ridiculous, but it is fucking powerful. Yeah. If you could use it right, I mean, you're gonna get a ton. You could save it for their bomb, for their Elsbeth or whatever. Yeah. You play this thing, and then you get to cast your whole hand next turn.
Basically. You know, I get nice. 6 mana, any color combination I want, plus the mana I already have in play. You know, it's just really good with what I want to do, because I just want to play.
You'll have minimum 10.
Yeah, I want to play a lot of creatures. I just want to play a lot of things. That's the whole, like, point behind the deck, is I just want to, you know, overload the board or control enough.
I just want to play with things.
Yeah, yeah.
All the things.
So I want to put, like, Cure in it, you know, help me get the emblem, and I get to fog something for a turn. You know, I want to play Jace, which Jace and Cure are a really good pair together, because Cure helps lock down one big threat, and Jace helps lock down multiple small threats. So they kind of help protect each other. And then, you know, I'd play, like, Sylvan Caryatid in it, to help with the mana ramp and fixing. And then, you know, some other creatures. I might think of, like, some maybe big creatures, if it'd be in a control deck, or something like that. So, I don't know. I'm still working on it, but, like, that's kind of, like, the basis of the deck. And I just have to get them together and start playing and testing and doing all
that. Is there going to be a green deck that does not play the Caryatid for the next year and a half?
No.
Like, it's going to play at least 2, right, or something.
It has hexproof. It fixes your color. It ramps you
in. Especially when that...
It blocks all the aggro strategies.
Right. Especially that you're going to be having multiple color decks. Like, it's fucking important.
It's just... So important. It's exactly what green wants to do.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, Cuban B.
Cuban B!
That was pretty much my big brew for the week. I want to start working on, so hopefully I can do that pretty soon.
So we got time for one more?
One more, of course. Sure? Yeah,
come on.
Get it.
No,
get
no,
in
no.
There.
It's not.
You're the brew master.
No, but I don't have one this week like that.
What?
I do. Well, I could. Do you want me to? Here, you know what? I will. Let me do it.
Don't let us down.
Give me. Go talk amongst yourselves. Okay? Like, Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Talk about that for about a minute. Like,
are you doing a brew on the spot?
Brew? No, I got, well.
He's pulling from the top of his head right now.
Hold on, just a second.
I'll go into a little bit of my jump deck.
Words.
I talked about it earlier, but for the most part it's using the Commune with the Gods. I think I'm only running 2.
Is this the Reanimator?
Yeah. The Reanimator, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you running the Satyr Wayfinders?
I am running 4 Satyr Wayfinders.
Yes.
Which it's
Lando Calrissian.
It's
That's why everybody calls the car Lando Calrissian.
Why?
Because it looks like Lando.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't even know.
And he brings you a land.
Yeah.
So I'm playing 4 of those so I can get my lands. So basically it draw 5 cards or 4
yes,
cards?
5, I think.
5. Draw some amount of cards and you can pull a creature or a land, right?
Just a land.
Yeah, just a land? Okay.
The main point is just to get the stuff into your graveyard.
Exactly.
And you can get a land to fix your land drop.
Yeah, so I can... I don't have a lot of white sources in there, but I have, you know, like the Satyr Wayfinder. And I'm actually running Lay of the Lands, which isn't the best, but it...
You might want to run the new Born of the Gods one.
What?
Pregnition or something like that. It's like a 4 drop, but allows you to pull 2 lands out.
But, okay, so the reason I put them in there...
And you can Descry, I think, which is really good.
Yeah. Well, the reason I put them in there is because...
One, I didn't have any tickets, so I just had to work with what I had. And two, I can get the lands I need for just for one mana, and it's kind of like you know, a Terramorphic Expanse or whatever the land is where you sacrifice it and you can go look for it, but you have to pay a mana for it.
It's a poor man's Cultivate.
It's
which is like a two mana. You get to draw two lands out of your deck. You play one tapped and one goes in your hand.
Yeah. So basically, it's just to get the lands out of the deck so I don't like put them in the graveyard, and I can just kind of smooth out my draw so I can draw into the Obsidian's Aid or, you know, Jared or whatever it is.
Jared.
But
you went to Jared.
And then I have two of the Commune with the Gods, because I only have one Whip of Erebos, just because I don't find the whip super great in my build.
Yeah, it's more of like a lifelink for all your creatures.
Well, what I do is I bring out the Giant Adifige, which is I think we talked about it earlier. Anyways, if it does damage to a player, it makes a copy of itself. So I don't care.
It has trample.
7/7 trample.
7/7 trample. 7/7 trample.
7/7 trample.
It's my money and I want it now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my Adifige and I want it now. So I don't care if the original gets exiled from the whip because it's going to make a copy of itself. But I'm also running, two Ashen Riders and two, Sylvan Primordials, and there's one other, like, bomb card I have in there. But that's pretty much it.
That's your big creature package?
Angel Serenity? Yeah, that's my... No, I wanted to get one, but yeah. Like I said, I didn't have any tickets.
They're pretty, oh, they're like okay. 5, 6.
They're an angel, and yeah. They're mythic.
Bull. Yeah, because like I was going to say, like, I would want to run, like, an Angel of Serenity or two. I'd run, like, four Ashen Riders, and I'd run, like, three Sylvan Primordials. Like, I like the Giant Adiphage. I like that idea, but I just feel like it's the battlefield effects.
Yeah,
it's
more.
Like any other creature. Like the whole point of kind of like a reanimator deck is to get like utility out of your creatures, and they're just not bodies. Where I feel as Giant Adiphage is just a body, and then you have to be able to attack in.
It's true that if like you brought something. It back, and then like you try to attack, and they had some way to stop that thing from hitting,
yeah.
Then you're just like, oh, that was a waste of all that.
Yeah,
that trying, and, then, like, and then it's exiled, so you can't even try it again.
I play around with it a little bit, and like it wasn't reliable enough versus the other creatures I could be putting in the deck.
Yeah, that's why I play one, but yeah. When it does work,
it takes over.
It's like Kiora's ultimate. You know, yeah. It's just like. Every turn, you're pumping out another 7/7.
It's like a pack rat you don't have to invest money or cards
yeah,
into.
It's like a pack rat that I don't hate. Oh, we used to be lovers, me and pack rat, but nah, I would just...
You used to be two peas in a pod.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm having fun with the deck. There's a lot of removal. There's, you know, the Hero's Downfalls and...
The whole removal suite.
What's the... Target permanent that's three or less. Kill it.
Oh, Abrupt Decay.
Abrupt Decay.
It's a bad card.
Abrupt Decays.
Did you run a four of Thoughtseize in the deck too?
Yeah, Thoughtseize.
You have to, because like Thoughtseize, you can disrupt your opponent's hand, or if you happen to draw into one of your big creatures, you can Thoughtseize yourself, get it into the graveyard, and then bring it back next turn.
Did not know you could Thoughtseize yourself.
Yes. It says target opponent, or target player.
Hmm.
So that's like with a lot of the old and like Legacy has a lot of reanimator strategies in it, and they run Thoughtseize just for that reason, because you can discard a creature that you happen to draw that you want to cheat in, so you have to discard it somehow. That's really the best way, because it also is able to help protect your combo by seeing your opponent's hand and having them discard if you don't happen to draw into your big creature.
Right.
But you have it in your hand.
Not bad.
Well, I learned something new every day.
Yeah, really, exactly. That's not bad.
Are you ready, Brewmaster?
Oh, yeah, just something simple. Make it
Brewmaster
short
sauce.
And sweet. I was going to talk about just like the Naya Aura Enchantment Hexproof deck.
What's
that's,
Naya?
Yeah, what's Naya?
That's Naya is the green and white. And
red.
What's that? And red? And red.
Green and white is Lesnia.
That's what it is. Yes. Yep. No, I knew that. That's what I said.
Yeah. No, I was just, you know, finishing your sentence.
Yeah, we finished each other's sentences. That worked perfectly.
I knew what you were trying to do to say, but I wanted to make it kind of awkward.
You are not a good partner. Okay, so the deck, I was going to talk about that because that's just a deck that came about since Born of the Gods, and it's been kicking some ass, but we'll save that for some other time. So if you guys want to hear about a homebrew, I came up with this Master deck.
Master!
That's what it says, like, exactly. Like, small text, big text. All right. So the whole point of it is to bring out Master Biomancer, which is a card that is it's a 2/4. It's a two colorless, blue and a green. And it has two power from the get-go. Whenever a creature comes out after this card, it gets its power converted into 1/1 counters on the next creature or whatever. So you bring out this card, and then any creature you bring out after that, it gets +2/+2. But if you pump up the Master Biomancer, then it just gets whatever the power is. So if you can pump it up in that turn, or if you bring out a Master and then a second Master or something like that, then that second one has...
Yeah, Master of Waves in there?
So that's the whole point.
It's
So Master of Waves, right, is...
Oh, sorry, like...
No, yeah, you're
excited. I'm all excited.
No, no.
Because I just figured it out in my head.
Right. So Master of Waves is... it's kind of... Mono Blue's kind of taking a backseat a little bit now, I feel like. Even though it's still competitive, I think that it's just going to fade out.
It's still like in the top 8 or top 16 or whatever, but it's not like...
There's always that one
that
makes it.
But if we're
going
to get onto a green-blue deck coming up when this Journey of Nyx comes out, I think this is going to be a start for whatever combo comes about.
Mm.
So Master Waves brings out your all these elementals, right? They're 1/0 elementals, but they get +1 because they survive because Master's Waves on the board. And it brings out that many elementals for your devotion. So basically, when all those elementals come out, instead of being 2/1s, they come out as 4/3s because of as long as both those cards are on the board. So you start with Master Biomancer, right? He comes out, he stays alive. Next turn you play Master Waves. Now you bring out Master Waves, which is going to be a 4/3 protection from red, and everything else is going to be 4/3s whatever your devotion to blue is.
And then but if Master Waves dies...
The tokens do not die for the first time. They always die before, and it was a problem. It was easy for if you had something to remove
that
master.
You deal with the master and the minions go away.
But it doesn't now. Now you're going to be left with 3/2s.
There's a new master
on the board.
Now.
A bunch of 3/2s.
Well, I was going to say is like when I heard the Master title, right. I was thinking like Master of Cruelties.
What is that one?
It's like a 6/7 for like a 5 red and a black, and like you have to discard your hand at the end of every end step.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. No.
So you should do all three. Master of Cruelty.
No, I have so much mana.
Master of Waves.
This is Master Blaster.
So I'm running in this deck, I'm running 3 of each. You could probably run 4, but I just run 3 because I want to just have a proper curve and I don't want to fucking have a bunch of that shit. So I put in 3 Cloud Fin Raptors as my 1-drop. Which is, I mean, it's a fantastic little thing.
Is this the revival of your Evolve deck?
No, it's a little bit. Only that, basically.
It's very Evolve-ish.
It's, that's the only one that really has
some counters involved.
So we have 3 of those, and that shit will build up for sure, especially when, like, Master comes out, it'll evolve however many times it can, you know, from all the other stuff. It'll basically become a 3/4 guaranteed whenever you
play
after it.
That's gonna be a sticky situation because there's gonna be like so many triggers on the stack. Like, you have to make sure you line them up
right.
You know,
whatever, we're playing a little counter or a little,
if it's in paper, then it's easy to deal with. But when you're on a moto, you're gonna have like 20 triggers on the stack and you're like, shit,
exactly.
Which one do I range first?
And my game's crashing. There's too many counters.
Yeah. The beta can't handle that many counters.
So I'm running, I'm running 3 Kiora's Followers just because it's a good solid 2-drop and I can untap like a land if I need it to bring out something else. Or untap a big creature that I attacked with. Nothing has vigilance. I can untap a big guy.
That's such a good card.
Whatever. It's good for blue green. Why not? So then I have 3 Nightmare Specters because of the devotion.
Okay.
Devotion. And it's a flyer. It's just a good fit for it. You know what I mean? And I have 1 Thassa. You could probably run more, but I have 1 Thassa. I have Sylvan Caryatid for one of my other 2-drops, which is up for grabs. I mean, that could be replaced by something else if I think of anything else, really. And then the other big card for this is the Zamek Guildmage. It's a 1 blue, 1 green. It has 2 activated abilities like all the other Guildmages.
Yes.
Where if I pay a blue and a green, anything that comes out gets an extra 1/1 counter on it. So if I can play that, activate that and play Master of Waves, then everything gets even more.
Yeah.
Or just in general, just use it if you have extra mana, just use it. It's a nice card.
Yeah.
All those guild mages are nice to have. Use your extra mana up and just makes something more powerful.
Good mana sink.
Whatever. Yeah, good mana sink. So I have those, and then also for card advantage, you can pay two and remove a 1/1 counter and draw a card. So at the end of it, you have two mana left over. Why don't you just remove two counters from one of your elementals or whatever, and you can just draw an extra card.
Nice.
So you have that. We have your standard land, which is like, I ran 6 forests and 10 islands.
What are you using for like removal?
I'm going to get onto that with the instance. Yeah, I'm only playing instance, no sorceries.
I'm excited. I want to play against it.
Right. So we have 4 Breeding Pools, 4 Temple Mystery, duh. You know, it's just as simple as that. I'm playing 3 Cyclonic Rifts.
Okay.
Which I feel like I will have the mana for to pump it for 7, overload it for 7 and just take everything, every permanent they have back to their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll be able to use that. Otherwise, it's just a good general removal spell or whatever, pick their hand. I have 3 faded,
infatuations.
Infatuations.
Yes.
So I can
triple blue.
That's a triple blue. I can copy, a permanent or whatever.
It's only,
copy
but it's
whatever.
Only Master one of
waves.
Your creatures, right?
One of my creatures, I think. Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah. Either way. You're only going to use it on yours anyway, so.
You're only going to use it on Master of Waves.
That's
what the card should say.
You can do that.
Faded Master of Waves infatuation.
Do that. If you don't have that yet, copy Night Vale Spectre so that you can get all the devotion you need.
Okay.
Then I have 2 Simic Charms for the Hexproof. And then that also is like a Cyclonic Rift that removes, it takes one permanent up their hand. And then I have 2 Thassa's Rebuff. And I'm kind of excited to use that because nobody uses that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have blue devotion. That's the whole point of it is besides the combo. So instead of using a Dissolve or something else, I can use this and I feel like I'll always have the mana, the devotion to be able to use it right. So it seemed like the proper card. I could pay one more and just use Dissolve and it's like reliable all the time, but I feel like I'm going to try this out.
Have you thought of Nullify? It's double blue, counter target creature or aura.
But does everything. This is counter target spell.
Does this give you a scry at all?
No.
No scry.
So I just kind of like it. I'm going to try it out. It's never used, that's why I want to use it.
Yeah, I thought about using it in my mono blue devotion deck as like a sideboard card to bring in to like counteract any like control or anything like that. It's just, it's very conditional. You have to be very careful when you play it because, you know, you can try to counter it, and then it's one of those things where I'm pretty sure with this card, the interaction is it counts the devotion when it resolves.
So they can
when you cast.
They can when you cast. They can remove something,
and they can try to remove something, and it lowers and makes.
Gotcha.
You know, so
fair enough. That's an open card. I'm excited to play it, but
definitely try it to see how it works.
Totally options. Deal.
You have tons of options.
So I have that, and I have 2 rapid hybridizations, which is just a good standard for that.
Yeah, love the card.
Get rid of the demon, get rid of whatever. I can, if something of mine's gonna die, I can destroy it first, bring out a creature, evolve something else, and then when damage resolves, I can kill something else.
Have you
kinds of shit like that.
Thought of putting the tie binders? Cause the whole cloud
tie
binder rapidization combo.
It is, but it's getting too much. I don't wanna start going
too close to mono blue.
I don't wanna go too close to mono blue.
It does add to the motion really good.
You're right. But I just wanna experiment with other things like that. Because that's a good standard. I could have just got mono blue and just changed out like 3 cards and
just add the green to it.
I don't want to do that. Then I have 1 Garrett Color Beasts and 1 Kiora Crashing Wave. The reason I have one of each is because I actually own one of each. That's pretty much it. Maybe I could do more, maybe I could take one out, whatever, but I have those. And then I have 1 Bind into Thassa just because of card advantage. Hopefully I can get into something.
That's hard to remove.
Devotion hard to remove, that's a good one too. Yeah. So
nice.
You could probably do what's it called? That domestication.
Yes,
that's a good one to get it. That's a good one. You can have that instead of like Simic Charm or something like that. We'll see. But that's pretty much it. I'm excited to have Master Biomancer and Master Waves come out. And if that combo hits, they're like, I am fucked. And it's not
insane.
It's not that hard of a combo
now, or else I'm dead.
But it's not like I'm waiting for 7 mana to come out. I just have to have 2 4 mana cards. It's not that bad. That's like I could do that turn 5 or turn 6. Pretty reliably, I feel like, you know.
Nice.
And if anything else, just having Master Biomancer there will pump up everything and
fuck that. Yeah, that card's just a pain in the ass.
Yep.
In and of itself.
Pain in the ass is right. So, that's it. That's all I have for my
own. Well, I'm excited for that one out of all of our brews. I want to play against that one.
I'll see that.
But, you know, let's hop into our second installment of Noob's Knowledge.
Noob! Knowledge!
Noob's knowledge.
Noob's
knowledge.
Noob's knowledge.
All right. Well, this was the initial the topic I wanted to talk about before we got the email last episode. But this is something pretty simple. But when you're new, you just don't know. You just don't know how to do, like, simple things. Things we know how to do now. Like, when we were new, we had no idea.
Think back. For us to make this be, like, the niche podcast for newer to intermediate players, you know, novices, whatever, that we have to forget that we know these things and be like, what do we have problems with the first 3 months of playing? You know what I mean? Yeah. There's tons of shit. So
the topic I wanted to bring up was just finding cards. Like, how unless you like play against cards or own the cards from like opening booster packs or whatever, which we did when we were new, which we should talk about later in a different episode, not opening booster packs for value, but you know, we totally just, oh fuck yeah, give me like 3 booster packs and we just open them just to see what we get because we had no idea.
Fun.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Still like opening boosters.
I still open boosters from time to time. But we just had no idea what cards were out there for us to choose from. And so how do you find cards? Like, so The Gatherer. The Wizards website has a thing called The Gatherer.
It's a database of cards.
So it's gatherer.wizards.com.
So it's probably
the
most common.
This is my go-to site to find, like, say if I'm doing, like, if I am doing a brew or something like that, this is probably the place I go to for all my information for cards.
Yeah, this is probably the most commonly used ones. For some reason, I don't like it. Like, I forget why I don't like it. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. I'm just like, there's too many options. I don't even fucking know why. But so, you know, let's say you really like humans, you know, so you want to look at all the humans that are in the current standard availability. So, you know, you can type in, I don't know how to use this.
Yeah, it's like as a subtext or whatever.
It has types right here.
Yeah. You can search by like the type or
you can
like
search by name, you can search by types, or you can search by text, you can filter
like keywords.
You can
even
filter card color that match exactly or multicolored. You can search by filter by format, card set,
can
card
you do the
type.
Casting cost?
Converted mana cost.
Yeah, there's
you know what I mean? If you don't want to, if you're just going to go
so
with
if you're
humans,
looking for
you don't want to look for sixes.
Yeah. If you're looking for a two drop, you can like do subtype humans, converted mana cost,
less than two.
Yeah, so under the advanced search, you can.
That's where all the bread and butter is under the advanced search.
You can
by the
do name, rules, text, expansion, format, colors, types, subtypes, converted mana cost, power, toughness.
If you need something with like lifelink. You just type in lifelink and then filter it by standard and then you can see all the standard legal cards with lifelink.
It's so necessary to do this. No matter how experienced of a player you are, you need to use...
You need a
tool like that. You have to. Not everyone's going to just memorize every card so perfectly that they can be like, oh, I know exactly what I need for this deck. You can't brew a deck in 5 minutes.
You can search by artist on here. So
everything.
If you want to...
What about Beyonce? What she got?
Well, she has... never mind. I can go on this whole stupid tangent. About like a card with no attack and a big defense. That card's got a big butt. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh man.
So this is an easy way to look for cards if you want to if you're looking for I need something in my two drop slot for my blue green deck. You know, you can change the converted mana cost to two drop and specify only blue and green from the standard format, and you can look and find it. For some reason, it's not the most, I feel,
intuitive?
Like, user-friendly.
Yeah, it's not
almost
the most intuitive. It isn't user-friendly. Like, I really like it because now, at this point in our Magic careers, we already know, like, what a card type is. Like, we know what a creature card, or a sorcery card, or instant card,
it's like
or whatever
those...
the name of the card is. We know, like, you know, we know what we're looking for. And like what it does, like we know what converted mana cost means, essentially, you know, how much.
CMC.
Yeah, the CMC, whatever, like, you know, if a card has a 5 converted mana cost, we know what that means. Like, you know, it costs 5 mana overall to be able to cast this card. But if you're coming in like completely new to the game and you don't know a lot of the keywords, the rules, the card types, like instances versus sorceries,
I'm sure it might be a little daunting to look at the advanced tab in the search engine. And I can understand that could be a little bit of an issue, but I mean, if you really get into it and get down to the bare bones and actually like, you know, put the effort in to kind of learn what, you know, what these different filters can do, it is probably, I would say, the end all be all of Magic
fighting cards. I feel like this is the windows of the card searching. Like, sure, it's not like pretty to look at, or it's not, you know, like for someone, it's not for someone who has like completely no idea, you know, where Apple is like for people who, you know, might not. I hate Apple. Anyways,
but they want to do something, and that's all they want to do.
They want to do some of the work for you.
Yeah, and it looks pretty, and it's way easier. You know, that's more of the Apple, where this is the Windows, where, like, if you know what you're doing, it's going to work a lot better for you. We're going to get
emails now that we just went there.
I hate Apple. I fucking hate Apple. I don't even eat apples anymore, because fuck them.
Whatever. Stupid.
So, I mean, that's definitely a good website for it.
What other options, though?
What other options? I think... Was it you, Hot Sauce, who turned us on to the app, or was it our buddy?
I have no idea.
I think it was our buddy Peppermint Swirl, our artiste that we go to. It's MTG Familiar. So I don't know if they have it on fucking the iStore, but on any Android Google Play Store, look up MTG Familiar, and I feel like this. This is the nice looking, pretty easy to use, user friendly way of looking up cards.
Definitely has a lot less options to choose from.
But it still has good options though.
It still has everything you need, like color, card type, mana cost, format, set,
exactly.
Stuff like that.
I still can look up
mono white, standard,
yeah.
This much whatever.
There's names,
you know,
there's
like
sizing.
I want a 3 mana human with lifelink.
Yeah,
you can search for that.
It still has pretty much everything else the Gatherer has. Like you can even look up artist or flavor text.
You're saying it's the same as the Gatherer, it just looks a little better.
Yeah,
and it's
pretty
mobile
much.
Only though, right? And then also it gives you a card price off of TCG Player, which is awesome.
If you look up a card, it pulls
low,
the card
high,
price.
Average.
And also it has a wish list, which I used to build my rat deck back in the day. I was able to look up all the rats, and then I added all the ones I wanted to my wish list, and then when I walked into Crazy Fred's, I was just looked at my wish list and I want this and I want this and I want this. And it was really easy to go from point A of looking up the cards to point B of getting the cards.
How did he smell that day? He
smelled great.
Okay, good.
But I forgot what I was going to say. But this is a really easy way, to do it like on the go. You're not always going to have a computer in front of you, or if you do have a smartphone, you don't want to have to like, try and, you know, zoom into the browser to like look. This is on the go. This is probably the easiest. I can't tell you how many times we've talked and I'm like, fuck, what's that one card? I can't think of it. So I type into my phone, into the MTG Familiar, and I look it up and I thought, oh yeah, this is the card I was thinking of that would go good in your deck, or that, you know, whatever the case was.
Yeah, it's a perfect app basically for what we're talking
and
about.
And it also has other stuff like Judge's Corner, rules, has a round timer, dice, life counter. I don't really use all that stuff. I use it mostly for the cards, but it's kind of a all around like just good app to have if you are a Magic player.
And
it's free. And regardless of your skill level, I think it can come in handy.
Anything else we got?
Like one thing, when I was first starting out, you know, I started out in paper, and I was told by you know, Knife and everybody else that TCG Player was where to go to buy the cards, and I found that they had a very good search feature because it does a lot of things that the Gatherer does, but it also allows me to see prices as well. So like I could search by, I can just go in to TCG Player and I can select red, color red, and then standard. And I see all the cards that splash off red, there's just red on its own, and they're standard legal. And then, you know, I can get a breakdown, okay, this is the card, this is how much it's going to cost. You know, that's really what started me. Then I started learning about the Gatherer. The main way I do it now though is I use Cockatrice. Because I love having all the cards right in front of me. I can see the art. I can read the card. And then, like, I can kind of build a deck And then like if I want to, deck. Yeah. I can build like a mock-up deck. Oh, I want this. Oh, I want this. Okay, well, and then I can start adjusting numbers. I can like kind of get a visual how the deck looks altogether.
Right.
And then if I want to, I can take it into like a lobby and I can just actually play the deck. So, and it has like the database for all, every card in Magic's history. So it's every single card. I can look up anything, you know, from on the Legacy and, you know, Commander or like, you know, Modern, different things like that. I just love it. I just open it up and I start just like cruising through all the standard cards and it's like, oh, this card looks cool. What can I make out of this? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, I can filter it by enchantment, by land.
But does that like have prices on it? Does it have,
it can pull prices.
Okay.
Does it have
search options pretty similar to what we mentioned?
You can't really like search by like subtype human.
Okay.
But you know, you can do like white creature.
Okay.
And then you can go through and it tells you the type and you can look through all the cards and stuff like that. So like, it's not like the most advanced, like in where you can pinpoint down by converted mana cost or like, subtype, but I think I just like seeing all the cards available for a broad spectrum, like color, creature, enchantment or something like that. And I can just get a feel of what I'm looking for, especially when I'm trying to brew a deck.
You know, all these things really help when I listen to other podcasts and they talk about cards that I don't know. Because, you know, I feel like I know a lot of the cards in Standard. I still, when, like, you guys mentioned that one fucking creature card that you pull to do the 2 damage in your brew deck. I had no idea. What the fucking, you said the name and I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, like.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Reich's
the Black? Yeah, yeah, the. Well, the or which the one Possibility Store.
Right, right. Possibility Store, yeah, whatever. The one that you discard a card and just 3 damage.
Yeah, I had no, card, when, right, if yeah, you were card. To just say that without saying anything else, I would have no fucking idea what you're talking about. So, when I listen to other podcasts, sometimes they talk about Modern or other formats and like even still some cards in Standard, you know, if I don't know what the hell they're talking about, I'll pause the podcast and then I'll type into whatever I'm looking, you know, whatever it be, the Gatherer or MTG Familiar. Yeah. I look it up and then I'm like, okay, I know what they're talking about. And then I, you know, listen to the rest of the podcast. And I hope we try and explain what we're talking about because I hate when other podcasts do that, but I will totally do that. I'm not above forgetting to mention something about the card.
We're all human here. We're going to make mistakes. So
there's always the internet. Google knows everything.
Yeah. Yeah, but I really want to try not to assume that you already know what the hell we're talking about. I want to try and, you know, explain a little bit about it without saying every single word on the card. And the flavor text is, you know.
Yeah.
I am nodding right now.
This is great, too, because if we do happen to forget, now we give you the tools to look it up.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and pause it or do whatever or just remember it, and you can look it up later and be like, oh, so that's what they're talking about. Oh, okay, so I see what they're talking about with that one card. And then you can go from there. So it's pretty much providing, laying down the foundation, giving you the tools to, brew decks, you know, look at card interactions. And if you hear a card that, you know, you never heard before, you know where to go now to figure out everything about that card.
Yeah, cause nobody even, you know, I'm sure pros that are like been playing forever know every card that's out there. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they
don't know the name. They're like, oh yeah, I remember, but I don't know what exactly it does, you know.
So everyone needs some kind of card lookup tool, whether it be on the internet or on your phone or however.
I've had an instance where I remembered the art of a card, but I had no idea like what it did or even like remotely what color it was, but I remember the art and I remember wanting to look it up for whatever reason, not to like look at how pretty it was, but I actually like wanted to play it or remember what it actually did. And so with the tools we mentioned, you can't really efficiently just look at the art and go, oh, okay. So like the card I was thinking of was, you know, let's say M14. I knew it was an M14, but I had no idea. I knew it was M14. I knew the art. So how are you going to look up a card that you don't know anything else? Not even the converted mana cost or the color or whatever. So
I don't know.
That's it. That's the answer. We don't.
Yeah. You don't know. So we talked about spoilers earlier. And spoilers come out, you know, like they start about a month before a set comes out, and they spoil a card here, you know, another day, you know, next week they'll spoil a couple more, and the closer they get to the release date of the actual set, the more cards they'll spoil at a time. So eventually they will all be spoiled, and they will all be online for you to look at. So when I'm looking at cards that are spoiled, I go to mythicspoiler.com to look at. There's other sites I go to, but this one has all the nice, pretty pictures of it.
All the big art and stuff.
Yeah, big
it's
art.
It's the front page, so you're not searching for anything. It's just whatever's the newest format.
Yeah,
it'll be on the front page, everything laid out in one easy. You can see it on mobile, like it's fine.
Yeah, you click on one whatever set you want to look at, and then it gives you that set. So I can even go back and look at M14. But the whole point is it shows the art in a big enough card picture so you can like see the art, and then it also has like the text and everything else about the card.
That's a good idea.
And you can the site does allow you to filter as well.
Yeah,
they'll have like the expansion symbol you'll see, and then there'll be like a long row of other images next to it, and they'll have like, you know, a plains and islands, stuff like that. You can click on it. And if you do, it will pull up all, like, the blue cards. Or, like, yeah, there's an enchantment one, we'll pull up all the enchantment ones. So, you know, if you do know a little bit more about the card, you can, or if you're, like, looking for a specific enchantment or something in that set, you can at least have some filter instead of looking through 250 cards.
Yeah.
Trying to find the exact one you want.
Yeah, there's a little bit of filtering. But this is good for, you know, spoilers coming out because, I mean, we're about to get new spoilers for...
J-O-U.
Journey into the next.
So we're about to get spoilers, so you can start looking at cards that are coming out.
Yep.
And also, you know, you can look at the cool art, like the new multicolored gods are already on here. They have their pictures, they have the colors, but as for the converted mana cost and any text on the card, there's not really anything on here. It does it like so for Athreos, is the black-white god. It just has black-white in the converted mana cost. It will actually put out what the actual converted mana cost is, but for right now, they just know that it's the black-white god.
Yeah, right.
It's like horrible. A fucking 6/6 for one white one
black. All the other gods like 4 or 5. You know, these gods, you know, they're 2.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. But I mean, that's an easy way to like look up cards. We did that. That's not intuitive to somebody who is new.
Right.
You don't know, like, what to do. Like, when you get if you buy a fat pack, it does have a list, like a paper analog fucking list of the cards and their pictures that are in that set.
Yeah.
So that's actually another way that I just thought of right now that you can, like, look up cards. I've used that a couple times.
I just put that next to my shitter and then I just, like, you know, just spend my half hour on the toilet and I just look through cards and whatnot. It's more sanitary than looking at your phone for a half hour, right?
Yeah.
That probably is a lot more sanitary than looking at your phone.
Poop stuff.
Lots
of people. We still haven't got any good poop jokes. I'm disappointed. I know we probably only have like 3 listeners or whatever, but one of you guys has to have a good poop joke. I want a poop joke. Not from any of you guys. I want it from a listener. I want a good poop joke from a listener. I refuse to edit the next podcast until we get a poop joke. Jeez. Not really.
That's
so this is the last episode of Lane.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a good run.
Yeah.
And
we'll see you never.
I was going to have to like make my own like different alias and then make a poop joke, and then I can talk about how great the joke was.
So we got one other thing topic for the noob knowledge, right?
Do we have time to go into it?
Do we have the time?
Yeah, we got time.
It's
a little bit. Talk about touch on it a little bit, right?
Touch on it a little bit.
Come on.
Just look at. Look at me touch a little bit.
How much time do we have, though?
15.
I say we should just save it for next
time. You want to do it next time? All right, well.
You know, you can go into a lot of these different ones, and, like, you want to go into, like, the interactions and how they interact with each other.
We could talk forever about
that. That could be, like, that could be an hour subject right there.
So something to look forward to next new knowledge. We're really going to be talking about all the, what is it, like, lifelink, trample.
We're going to go into, like, the keywords, the mechanics. We eventually want to start explaining how, like, gameplay, so, like, how the stack is, maybe, like, correct lines of play.
But next time, we're for sure just going to be doing the...
We're going to start with some of the very basics.
Like, so the abilities, like, yeah, the bread and butter type
abilities. Keywords, you know, when Journey and Nyx get spoiled, we'll go over... the different mechanics that the set brings. So like Theros brought, you know, Bestow and Devotion into Magic, which weren't previously there. So we'll go over, cover all the rules and interactions and, you know, what you can kind of expect out of these mechanics. So, you know, when you go, say you go to a pre-release, you're not like, I don't know what this does, or I don't know how to counteract this because I don't know what can interact with it or not.
Which, by the way, we should all go to the pre-release.
I'm down.
Just call off work, say you broke your head, and you'll be back tomorrow.
Broke my head.
Broke your head. I got cancer.
Sorry, I lost my head. Yeah. I don't know where it's at.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I lost my legs. See you tomorrow. I'm in a horrible plane crash. I'll see you tomorrow.
Or I can just call him up and be like, Magic, and then just hang up.
So, yeah, you know, I think we should cover, for our next new knowledge, we'll go into mechanics. We'll cover the big keywords that have been throughout Magic in the entire history. And, you know, we'll go over the interactions with each other and what they actually mean. And
clarify, you know, that'll be for next mechanics. Time. After that, we can worry about if it's going to be like a Bestow type, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
and then we'll go into actual mechanics like Bestow, Scry, you know, all those different things because, you know, these keywords are technically mechanics, but they're classified different as in they're like their keywords, so they stay around. You know, lifelink's always going to be there. Trample's always going to be there. You know, it's kind of associated with that specific color. So, like, lifelink, you think of white. Death touch, you think of black. You know, things like that. So
yeah. Stick around for next week's installment of Noob's Knowledge. Will they talk about lifelink? Will they talk about death touch? Will they talk about how they interact with each other in intimate ways?
And we're just going to talk about Charging Badger and how I should have 500 of them by now.
Go ahead and buy your charging badges right now. We'll sign you.
One trample?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God.
Hey.
It's a thing.
It could be the next thing. Anyways, this has been episode 5 of If Lands Could Kill. Thanks for sticking around. Leave us some comments, questions, whatever, on our Facebook, our email, which will all be in the show notes. Let us know if you have any stuff you want to hear us talk about on the podcast or whatever. Or comments. Send us hate mail, death Concerns. Threats, dick pics, fucking whatever you want. But it's about time to get out of here because I'm fucking all hot and sweaty. So this has been episode 5. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
Hot sauce.
This is right.
Catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.
Are we recording?
Yeah. We've been recording for 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, cut that out.
You never know.
Cut
that out. You never know when you're going to say something funny.
That's one thing that, like...
Oh, the airplanes?
You can close it maybe, like, almost all the way or something.
That's the only light. I guess I can bring the...
Oh, no, we don't need light. Now we're setting the mood.
We don't need those
the
dungeon lights. Now.
They're gonna know over the
that it's all like creepy and it's dark.
It's dark in there. Why does it sound so dark in there?
Say, why is there 4 men in a dimly lit room?
Exactly.
This is how we do it.
No pants on.
Welcome to the No Pants Podcast.